views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Vibrant, Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my goal with this show is to share information that can help you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, I have a beautiful woman on the line with me named Sunit Sachdev. Sunit is an author, speaker, and life coach who wants to inspire moms to be talking about all the amazing things that they are doing instead of complaining about all that they cannot do anymore. Her podcast and course, Modern Mummy Prep School, targets first-time moms to hold on to their power, parent with purpose, and plan ahead to enjoy a fulfilling and happy mom life. Her website is modernmummyprepschool.com. So if you want to learn more about her, I suggest you jot that down somewhere, but don't leave the show because I really want you to hear what she has to say. Today, she's here to talk about how to take your power back in motherhood and be purposeful in your parenting plan so that you can raise amazing kids without losing yourself. Sunit, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm so looking forward to our conversation.
Thanks for having me, Debbie. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, that's wonderful to have you. So I would love to start by having you share a little bit about your story. How did you get into doing what you do? And why are you so passionate about helping change the conversation around motherhood?
Well, I basically, in a nutshell, really struggled to get pregnant. And, I was in my mid-30s trying to have a baby and it wasn't happening for us. So we ended up, going the in vitro route after many other failed attempts at different things. And, during that time when I was trying so desperately to get pregnant, women all around me were getting pregnant.
Of course, right? Yeah, yes.
But I was noticing that they seemed to not be enjoying motherhood. So I was hearing a lot of, I've completely lost myself. The marriage has been put on the back burner, all of these things. And it just kind of starts to really sit with you. You're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm working so hard to have a baby and I want to be able to enjoy motherhood. Mm-hmm. So those thoughts kind of started percolating in my mind. And then when I was finally lucky enough to get pregnant, I was surrounded by women who were saying to me, basically telling me all the things that I should say goodbye to, oh, you're pregnant with twins. Oh my God, say goodbye to life as you know it. Say goodbye to sleep. That career that you love. Yeah. Say goodbye to that. You won't be able to travel anymore. So I was being told again, it's just like the negative kind of stuff about motherhood and being told all the things that I would not be able to do as a mom. And that is really when I started to, I'm one of those people, like, you tell me I can't do something and then walk me through it, right? So right. I really got it set in my head that there has to be a better way. I did not go through years of infertility and all of this only to have children and not be able to live my life. Not to mention I was 36 by the time I got pregnant. So I had a very fulfilled and established life beforehand that I was very attached to. So, I wasn't this super young mom that had only just ever wanted to be a mom. Like, I had time to kind of like build my career and build all these passions and do all these things. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't want to become a mom and suddenly just lose everything else about my life that I love.
Right.
So I just kind of set this plan in place of really looking at the moms who kind of were the epitome of the kind of mom I wanted to be. I stopped paying attention to the negativity and I really started focusing on the women that looked like they were doing it all, that looked like they were enjoying motherhood, the women who had the types of kids I wanted to raise. And I just started really focusing on the positives and asking them what they were doing or how they had done certain things. You know, I always say, don't ask for directions from people who have never been where you are going. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be inspired as a mom, you know, like I say, talk to the women who inspire you. So that's what I did. I stopped listening to the people who were telling me, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I started paying attention to the people who were doing what I wanted. And lo and behold, you know, my kids are 5 now. And I do feel that I have had a very positive experience as a mom. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, there are challenges and it's not always easy, but I think because of my preparation and just my purposefulness with planning for parenthood and the types of kids I wanted to raise and, you know, making sure that I was putting myself first and all of those other things that I think are really important, I did have a great experience. So that kind of ended up blossoming into what first started as a blog and then eventually a coaching business. And then now, you know, I've got my podcast and all this other stuff with Modern Mommy Prep School. So that's kind of where it all started and why I am so passionate about it.
Nice. I love that. I remember saying to my husband when we had our child, our first child, I said to him, if you ever hear me saying to another mother, oh, just wait, just you wait until, you know, just stop me right there. I don't care what you have to do. Throw something at me, gag me, whatever, because it's so true. It's so easy to get caught up in what you have to give up. But everything in life is a trade-off. I mean, when you go to work full-time, you're trading off all kinds of things. And if you love your job and go in and enjoy it, you sure don't sit down with somebody and say, oh, you know, my job is awesome, but I hate having to get up early or I hate having to work 10 hours or whatever. You focus on the positive. So I love that. And I love that you figured out exactly what you needed to do so that you could live that inspired, vibrant, powerful life.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's exactly the stuff we want you to share. We want you to spill the goods on. So I really love that your focus at Modern Mommy Prep School is first-time moms, because I think it's so important that we recognize when we have a child, even if we adopt a child or we become a full-time stepmom to another child, it's a total transition for us, right? And that transition really opens our eyes and our mind in a way that few other transitions do, because it opens us to new information. There's so much new already because of the child that we are more welcoming to that information. And believe it or not, well, you know this and I know this, but we're not really great at doing that at other times in our lives, right? We're not really open to changing or doing things differently. So I really love that you focus on the first time mom, because that is a really unique time in anybody's life. So maybe you could share with us, what are some things that expecting moms could be thinking about that they might not be thinking about to prepare for motherhood?
For sure. And I will add here too, that although I do focus on first time expecting moms for the exact reason that you just said, I think anyone, even if you're a seasoned mom and you are feeling like, okay, I, you know, having that regret of, I wish I would have done this 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I don't think it's ever too late to think about this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I think some of the main things, you know, I think women, when you get pregnant, it's so easy to get caught up in all the shiny stuff, like the nursery. What's the nursery going to look like? And what baby equipment do I need to buy? And what are all the latest, coolest gadgets out there and the cute clothes and the baby names? But that's just short-term stuff. So I think... And I think we do ourselves a disservice when those are the things that we're stressing out about and thinking about in pregnancy. Those things can be thought about, you know, after the baby comes. But before your baby comes, that 9 months that you have is the only time ever in your life you are going to have without a child and able to really think ahead about things like how, yourself, first of all. If you haven't found yourself yet, find yourself. Because who you are, figure out what lights you up. Are you, you know, are you loving the life that you're living right now? Is there something that could be better? Really think about those things. What do you enjoy doing? What makes you, you, you know, really, finding that and using that as an anchor from your pre-baby life to your post-baby life is going to be huge, because I can't tell you how many times I'll, you know, hear women say, I thought I was just meant to be a mom. Like, I thought I would feel fulfilled as a mom. And then I became a mom and I realized that I wasn't fulfilled.
Yes.
So you really got to get really in touch with yourself first. That's the first thing. And talk about it with your partner and think about, how are you going to preserve some of those things? What are some of the things you know, do you do yoga? Do you meditate? Do you need to get away for a girls' weekend every few months? What are the things that really keep you healthy, happy, and whole? And how are you going to still make time for those things after your baby comes? So thinking about that, getting on the same page as your partner is huge. Again, communication is, you know, everything. And if you're married and you have a partner, then you're a team. And, you know, you don't want to, you know, always say, like, you don't want to bench your one teammate because you're going to be playing the field by yourself pretty much. So you've got to get on the same page about everything. So again, you know, making sure your partner knows, these are the things that are important to me, what's important to you, and really opening up that dialogue and being on the same page when it comes to everything that you are going to encounter in parenting, not just the first, you know, couple of weeks or a couple of months, but in the years ahead. What type of children do you want to raise? What role do the in-laws play here? All of that stuff. And then the other, you know, I kind of talked about these pillars of motherhood. So the self, the partner, and then the past, the present, and the future, I think too, for moms to, you know, we always say, oh, children should come with a manual. Mm-hmm. But actually, I think we have all the answers we need to parent our children the way we want to parent them within ourselves, because we were once parented ourselves. So you got to look back, you know, think about your past, think about what kind of childhood you had. I think we all have things that we think that our parents could have done better. And we also all have things that we loved the way our parents did, you know? So think about your past and think about what, and your partner too, because your partner is being influenced by their past and you're being influenced by yours. So really chatting about those types of things, you know, what kind of traditions do you want to carry on? How are you disciplined? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Mm-hmm. And the present and the future. So really thinking about your current situation, what is it truly going to be like to bring a baby into your present life? I don't know if you ever did this experiment when you're a kid, not an experiment, but it was like this thing that you used to, like, either have like an egg or like a sugar bag that you have to like take care of for a whole day. And it was supposed to teach you like how to be responsible for something else.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't necessarily have to do that, but it's just an example of, when you really become mindful of like, okay, what is this actually going, what is our social life like right now? How is this going to impact that? What kind of friends do we have? What do we like to do in our spare time? And what would it be like to bring a baby into our situation the way we are right now? So really being mindful about that. And then thinking about the future, you know, start as you mean to go. So you're not going to know how to get to where you're going unless you know where you're going. So know ahead of time, what type of children do I want to raise? What values are important to me and my partner and our family? Where do we see ourselves 5, 10, 15 years from now? And then really being mindful of that when you are starting to, you know, decide what kind of a parent you want to be, or you decide what kind of discipline you want to, you know, instill in your children. That is all going to come much easier to you if you have an end goal in mind. So these are some of the things that I really encourage women to think about and be really mindful and purposeful about, that are going to help them with the long game of parenting, as opposed to just thinking like, you know, what's the next few months going to look like?
Right. And you know, there's so much there. What you just said, I could talk in so many different directions about it. So I sense from that, it's possible the listener who maybe is pregnant right now could be thinking, oh my gosh, like that's a lot. And I'm tired and I'm throwing up and I don't know that I have the energy. But I love what you said, because really what Sunita is saying there is that when you take the time to go off of autopilot and just become conscious of all the different pieces that are going to play in to your relationship and how you're going to raise your child. I love what you said there about you don't want to bench your partner. If you do have a partner to help you, they're going to do things differently than you do. And it is a great idea to have ideas on how you're going to work together, but also figuring out what are the big things for that person versus what are the big things for you, and how you're going to allow that to be, because there's more than one way to do things. So there's just so much there, Sunita. I love all that you shared, and I hope people will go back maybe and listen to this a couple times, especially if you are a new mom or a first-time mom and you're thinking, okay, how do I do this? Go back and give it a listen.
You know what's funny though, Debbie, is, you know, new, or especially when you're pregnant, you're so, like you were mentioning, like exhausted and having all these things to think about. Mm-hmm. But yet I'm guilty of this too. You're so excited that you do have time to look at, okay, what am I going to put on my baby registry? And
yes,
all this energy into these things that are like a very short term things. You know, I was talking to a girlfriend the other day who's pregnant for the first time, and her baby's due in 5 months, and she's feeling so overwhelmed and stressed because she doesn't know what to put on her registry.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like,
that is such a small thing.
Of your worries, and you should be stressed out about that. Right. And we need to really take our power back and think, okay, that stuff, it really, in the grand scheme of things, does not matter. So I think if we have the energy in pregnancy to be thinking about that, you definitely have the energy to be having these conversations with yourself and with your partner.
Absolutely. And you know, there's one other piece I have to add in to what you said, because I am a social worker and I have worked with people that they really, when they look back on their family, they don't want anything to do with that environment. Mm-hmm. But I love what you said about you were parented. And so sometimes some of that information can come from, okay, these are the things I don't want to do. And most people have another family who they look to, another, maybe a friend, and they look to their parents and they thought, oh, I wish I had that. Yeah. So I would often, you know, suggest to them, then focus there, because really what you're doing here is just creating a picture of what are the things that I really want my child to have. And that's not material possessions. That's the big rocks, the real foundational pieces.
Yeah. And even the material possessions, I mean, people get so caught up in like, well, so-and-so said I should buy this and so-and-so said I should buy that. Yes. But that is coming through from their lens of what works for them and their kids and their family. That may not be the best thing for your baby. So, you know, people are always asking for advice, but sometimes it can be too much. Like, you have to bring yourself back to what's important to you and what type of children you want to raise and what your family life looks like.
Absolutely. And especially when money is an issue, right? Like, you and I know that the kid's favorite toy until they're about 5 years old, and it can even be after that, is a box. Right? Yeah. If the little tricycle came in a box, it's the box that they're going to love. Yeah. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be super expensive, but.
Yeah. Like, do you have, you know, does the baby have a place to sleep and are they going to be fed? That's pretty much all you really like. That, you know, we make it so hard on ourselves and we overcomplicate things. And I really am passionate about bringing it back to basics in all ways for moms. Our world is crazy right now and we need to simplify.
Yes. So part of the title for today's conversation is about raising amazing kids without losing yourself. And I think that fits in really nicely with what you just said. So I would love for you to first give us an idea of what you mean when you say losing yourself, and then maybe share the number one thing a mom could do right now if she feels that she has lost herself or she's in the process.
Well, I think losing yourself basically, well, it could mean two things. You know, sometimes women don't even really, like I alluded to before, know who they are before they have kids. I'm not trying to be stereotypical here, but I see this more often in much younger moms as opposed to somebody who's, you know, maybe in their mid-30s, who's had time to kind of cultivate this life that they love and they end up having children a little bit later on in life. They might have a little bit stronger sense of self than somebody who maybe hasn't, or maybe somebody who, you know, got pregnant and it wasn't expected. But I think that yourself is truly When you are connected with what brings you joy, with what brings you happiness, with what your purpose is in this world, what are the things you love to do? Those are the things that make you you. That is yourself. What do you bring to the world? And that's not being a mom. Everybody has something outside of being a mom that they are good at, a gift that they can share with the world. It doesn't have to be a job or a career. It could be a hobby. Maybe it's a gift that you have of some sort that you love to do. But I think every woman has that. That's inside of her. So when you haven't searched that out before you have children, or if you have and after you have kids, you don't make a point of holding on to it, that's when it's gone and you've lost yourself. And I think when women say they've lost themselves, that's what they're really saying. They're saying, I'm putting everything I have into my baby, into my child. I don't even know who I am anymore. They come before I do. I don't do anything for myself anymore. And they've kind of given up all those other things that used to make them happy. So, and I don't know, I mean, you know, this is my definition of what losing yourself is. So somebody may be listening and not resonating with that, but that's typically what I hear. So I think that the number one way, if somebody is feeling like, you know, I don't know who I am anymore, I don't have time for myself anymore, I'm not doing the things I used to love to do, the number one thing that any mom right now needs to do is stop and figure out that first. Figure out what used to light you up. What did, ask the people around you. Sometimes we forget, like, you know, ask your partner, hey, when you met me, what did you love about me? What, you know, what would you want to come to me for advice on? Or what did you think I was really good at? Or what do you remember about me before we had kids that you would say was a passion of mine? I mean, you know, start talking to the people that knew you before kids, whether that's your parents, your family, your friends, your partner, and really think back to those things that you used to do that used to light you up. And like I said, every woman has something. You just have to figure out what that is. If you haven't figured it out ever, now's the time to start thinking about it. And if you do know that there are things about your life that you've given up, sit down, make a list of what those are, and start reconnecting with those things and figure out how to get them back into your life.
Absolutely. I like to tell people pleasure is not an option. It is an absolute requirement for us. That's how we recharge our batteries. And so I love what you said there about, you know, finding your passion and really connecting with that and bringing that back into your world. And sometimes you can seek out new things. Like maybe you didn't like sitting and contemplating, you know, just quiet in the quiet before, but now that could be a huge gift for you and you might absolutely love it. Spending some time out in nature or listening to certain music. Do you know how many people can't even give themselves permission to put on certain music and just move wildly around to that music? And yet it's such a big deal for women. I mean, that's our creativity comes from our hips. And when we get our hips moving, it's just such a beautiful thing. So I love that. And I think it is a wonderful way for people to just start reflecting and reclaim who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they don't know, figure it out. Exactly like you said.
Exactly. And give your children, and if you're married, your partner, the gift of a happy, fulfilled you. You know, like I want my kids to see me doing what I love to do and set an example for them, because not only does that make me happy, but I think it inspires them as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this isn't, people say, oh, you know, you don't want to be selfish or you feel guilty, but no, it's the very opposite of that. You are giving your family a gift by really taking care of yourself and being a little bit selfish.
Well, and the thing is people do, like kids and husbands, actually do take energy from the woman, the head of their household. So the wife and mother does supply energy. And if you picture, like, I don't know, something really delicious that you take time to slowly cook so that everything is all cooked into it and it's really, really good and organic and beautiful and all that kind of stuff. That's the difference when you eat that versus you grab that fast food stuff that doesn't really taste you know, the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. And that's actually not a great example because some people think fast food tastes really good and I'm not judging them on that. But my point is that when we rush and cook something, it just isn't the same. And so you're actually not being selfish when you take care of yourself and recharge your batteries. So I love all of this. And I think it's so important. And I cannot believe that we are already out of time.
So I'm having fun.
Yes, that is very true. So I love what you shared here today, Sunit. I think that so many of those pieces tie into being a vibrant, powerful mom. And a person who listens to the show a lot will recognize that, oh yeah, that's what Debbie was talking about here, or you know, this guest or that guest. So I love so much of this is new, and so much of it ties in with stuff that the listener would have heard before. So thank you so very much for sharing that. Now, we only have actually a little less than a minute left, but I'm wondering if you have any last minute words of wisdom you'd like to throw in, or if you maybe have a little invite you want to share with our listeners or whatever. The floor is yours for about 30 seconds.
You know what? I would just encourage, challenge, invite anyone who's listening right now. If you are a mom or you are pregnant, about to become a mom, take your power back. We are surrounded by people who are telling us what to do. We're getting overwhelmed. We're stressed out. We don't know what the right thing to do is. Take your power back. You have all the answers inside of you. Take care of yourself. Give your family a gift and parent the way you want to parent. Stop giving your power away by looking here and there for advice on how to be a mom. Just be a mom and take care of yourself. And if you want more inspiration on this, I mean, I obviously do have, I have a private Facebook group for my podcast listeners, anybody who's a first-time pregnant mom, which is Modern Mommy Prep School in Facebook. But if you're a mom at any stage and you just want inspiration like this on a daily basis, I invite people to come check me out. I have a public Facebook page, Modern Twin Mom. You can find me there. So I talk more about this kind of stuff there.
Awesome. And they can go to modernmommyprepschool.com to find out more about you as well. That probably leads them to the Facebook page as well. So thank you so much, Sunit. It was just wonderful having you here with us and sharing all of this beautiful wisdom. Thank you so much to our listeners. There would be no point in us doing this, having this conversation without you, even though I quite enjoyed chatting with you the other day and again today. And so just with much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Sunit Sachdev, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting story. When my oldest son was 3, we purchased a Papasan chair for my office. One day, I noticed something white on the wood of the chair. Upon closer inspection, I saw that someone had marked the soft wood along one side. I put the clues together. My kids and I had been sitting in the chair reading an hour earlier. Since then, my oldest had brought me a key which he had found. It was now sitting on my desk. My youngest was napping. It was obvious that my oldest son was the culprit. With anger and disbelief surging through my body, I called him over. "What happened here?" I asked, clenching my jaw tightly. "I don't know," he responded, looking at the floor. Knowing he was lying would normally have increased my anger, but instead, it had the opposite effect. I realized that he was afraid of my anger and didn't feel it was safe to tell me the truth. That bothered me and stopped my anger in its tracks. I took a deep breath and sat down beside the chair. Opening my hand, I showed him the key. "Do you know what I think happened?" I asked in a gentle voice. "What?" he asked, risking a quick look at my face. "I think someone found a key and accidentally scratched it against this chair. Then, when he found it scratched really easy and was kind of fun, he decided to make more scratches. By the time he realized that what he was doing might be a problem, the chair was all marked up. I paused, watching him ponder my assessment. "I'm sorry, Mommy," he said, his eyes full of tears. "I didn't mean to do it." I took him in my arms and we sat together, talking about what we could do to fix this. We decided to use brown marker and cover up the scratches together. It worked pretty well, and I think we both learned something valuable that day.